tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers! Welcome back! We gotta wait for the pose! When I introduce everybody, they do the pose! Okay. We botched that one! Welcome back to the Vampire Diaries Season 6, Episode 17, A Bird in a Gilded Cage.
Actually, it's called Roxy Smells.
Tiana actually wrote that on the board. This is just make fun of Roxy Day. Speaking of Roxy, I am your host, Roxy Stryer. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer, and my pose is vampy. Was that good?
That was good.
Everybody in the booth is losing it over that one. Of course, I am alongside my chat mistress, Tiana Hobson. That's the witch.
I'm a witch. I'm a Bennett witch.
Looks like you're holding big balls in your hand.
You gotta fight with a wand or something.
But Bonnie doesn't use a wand.
That's true.
Like, that's like Harry Potter.
She forces things through her hands.
Like, that looks like Bonnie.
Yes.
Where can they find you?
You can find me at the Tiana Hobson.
And of course, Katie Campbell.
That was a wolf.
Everybody knows you're a wolf. Everybody knows. You could just sit there and smile and people would be like, oh, that was her wolf.
It's the hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You can find me on Twitter at KatieEE Campbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell.
And we are back with Sam Davidson. We missed you.
Yes, I know.
And she's our human for the night.
I am. I'm pretend to bite me.
Oh, that was so hot, guys. So,
Thank you.
She bit you this way. You got to turn the other way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just got to say, our acting careers, if they don't take off after this opening, whoa. Wow. Hollywood, you're missing out.
Sam, where can everybody find you?
Everyone can find me online at SamD43, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Happy to be back.
And we can you can find us here at AfterBuzz TV, AfterBuzzTV.com, YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV, iTunes, SoundCloud. Give us that thumbs up, that 5-star. Write all the comments in the world that you can. We respond to everything. We love hearing what you guys have to say. So, why, T?
I was just telling them to do it.
Now the people on iTunes are wondering why. Okay, switch over to YouTube and you'll see Tiana making fun of me behind my back. That's because she's a witch.
I was giving him thumbs up.
A witch with a capital B. That was good.
Whatever.
Okay, guys, less about us, more about the amazing show that took place tonight. This is the kind of thing that bothers me. We are going on hiatus, so they were like, ooh, let's remind you how this is the best show on television so that we don't have to be around for a month. I mean, could tonight's episode have been any better? At least that's my opinion. What do you guys think across the board?
I loved it. Oh my god, I was so excited to see this episode, but now I'm super angry because I have to wait a month. I hate this.
I know.
I'm gonna rewatch it like 10 times.
Yeah. And that's just the episode, truth. Or are you going through the whole series 10 times?
I mean, just, I've been through the whole series more than 10 times. Maybe. But this episode, yeah, I probably will watch it 10 times till it gets back. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
I agree.
It was. And I like that they kind of brought it back to season one stuff, and I know I said this earlier in the season two. Season one used to scare me. I wasn't allowed to watch it alone at night, and tonight I kept saying
you weren't
to you
allowed,
guys,
like somebody was.
No, like I told myself I wasn't allowed to watch it by myself at night because, it was me and my mom, but like it scared me that much. And tonight I kept saying everything about this is freaking me out. I'm going to have creepy, creepy dreams tonight of vampire dolls sitting around a tea table.
Why wouldn't you say creepy? Is Katie smile?
She's creepy.
I'm creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a creepy doll. She's a live creepy doll.
I love the creepiness.
Amazing opinions.
I'm totally with you that it was incredibly creepy. And especially because, like, that Katie smile, there was a lot of smiling. Like, the Lily character, she just does this really, she's being so nice. I'm like, what's up? Like, what are you hiding from me? And obviously, we'll talk more about her in a little bit. But I wanted to start tonight with our dehumanized. How, they switched their humanity. Mm-hmm. They're not...
Humanity-less?
You're, the humanity-less folk.
They flipped the switch.
Yeah, the switch flippers. And
they like that.
And, of course, I'm talking about one of the coolest couples right now, Steriline. Oh, can we call them a couple?
I mean...
They are sleeping together at this point, I guess.
Are you exploring the couple thing?
You have to ease into it as a Stelena, so I understand that. But as a Delena, I'm like, Steriline's a couple. Humanity or not, they are together.
For me, this makes me feel like this is where Stefan and Caroline finally meet in the middle, and this is why they like each other so much. Maybe because there's something both inside of them. They're so nice on the outside, and they're human selves. But really, deep down, they are just, like, crazy nice people wanting to, like, get out. And they connect on that.
Crazy.
Right.
Have crazy wild hot sex.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And was it? By the way, I have to throw this out there now so you guys can try to forget about it by the end of the episode. While they're having crazy hot sex, Tiana says, ooh, do it on top of the girl. That's just showing you a little bit.
And I said, yeah, do it. I was all with you.
And Sam was there. I mean, when things get raunchy and hot, they get raunchy and hot.
They have no humanity. They just both fed on her and threw her, left her there to bleed out.
Yeah, like, but were you looking for like a threesome kind of thing?
No, I wanted them. They were just being tossed around everywhere. So I was like, oh, are they going to start doing it on top of her body next?
I don't know if it was a question. It was more of a statement.
But I mean,
more of an exclamation point.
More of a suggestion for a new spot for them.
Do we
get
a suggestion box?
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Okay. The big thing, though, is it weird that now that they have their humanity off, now they're finally sleeping together? We saw them have that one kiss, and they had that moment, and then her mom passed away, and they didn't have the conversation. Then both their flips supposedly get switched, which I know we have some mixed opinions about. But now they're, like, all hot and bothered for each other. Anybody who actually is a Steriline fan, would that bother them, that it would take the humanity turning off to sleep together?
I'm going to say that I don't think that it's that's brought them together, because they don't care because their humanity is off. I think the real test of where their relationship stands is if they actually, one of them or both of them, go out and sleep with other people. Ooh. And what their reaction is to that. That's the true test, because right now you both have no humanity. You did something naughty, yeah, and then you kind of, in the passion of it, you...
Oh, we've been working on our winks, too.
Yeah.
I opened my mouth too much again. I gotta close my mouth when I wink. It looks weird.
Just close it.
Just keep your mouth
closed. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, but I mean, I just think that is where it kind of, a true test of where it is. And I think that this, yes, they have feelings for each other, but since their humanity's off, I think right now it was just the heat of the moment, the passion. Mm. I mean, it's really strange foreplay, but it's foreplay for them at this point because they don't have any humanity.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it.
And that's surprising coming from Selena. Why do you feel like you're not mad?
I'm not mad at the fact that this is the first time they hooked up, because I like what you're saying, Tiana, about them not having humanity. I think it's not an issue. I don't know.
It's not a serious thing at this point.
And maybe it's because, you know, I'm Selena at heart, and I always will be. So maybe if it was them two, I would just be more upset or something. I just, you know, I'm trying to ease my way into this couple, and I'm not mad at the fact that they're hooking up like this.
Right. Let's step back for a second. So before we get to the raunchy hot sleeping together, we almost try to kill each other. So I say we as if I'm one of them. I really feel like I'm there. So they are fighting, and I guess Stefan is trying to mess everything up for Caroline, because he's saying that if his life, once his switch is flipped the other way, if his life is going to be ruined because of all the things he's did, then hers deserves to be ruined too, because somehow Caroline seems to be the first person to flip her switch that actually kind of has it together.
Which made me think maybe it wasn't flipped.
I keep on thinking about both of them. And I'm scared at one point they're going to be like, just kidding, no joking.
When you say scared, do you mean you wouldn't like that storyline?
No, for both of them to be like, I was just messing with you. No, I was just messing with you. But I think Caroline switched hers just because it's her personality to be type A, and it just makes sense. You know, when she was turned into a vampire, some of that got turned down. But with Stefan switching it off, it was the first indication to me that it wasn't off when he said at the beginning, you know, if you're going to ruin my life. And this is Ripper Stefan. He wouldn't think it would be ruining his life to turn his, you know, switch off.
See, and I had doubts about Caroline, not so much Stefan.
Why did you doubt Caroline? Did she do something?
She seemed like she, you know, last episode I was like, oh my God, she has her humanity off, and I liked it. I liked seeing what her character was doing. I mean, I didn't like the hurting people part, but, you know, it was interesting and fun to see Caroline like that. But this episode I kind of was questioning it because she just seemed like she had it more held together, you know, and her revenge wasn't so death-like, not chopping people's heads off, you know, like Stefan did at first, he bit his head off. But, I mean, at the end, either she switched when they started hooking up, or she was just humanity off the whole time. That's just how Caroline deals with it. But
I took it as it was off the whole time because I never really doubted that she turns hers off, but because she is the type of person who she also knows exactly when she wants to bring it back on. Mm-hmm. She's given herself a year. When Stefan's been humanity-less in the past, it wasn't for a specific amount of time. Mm. So he really didn't care. So she's still in the back of her mind thinking, not caring, that I think it's an effort that she has to care to stop herself from going too far.
Right.
So it's off, so she doesn't care, but she's actively trying to make sure her life isn't in shambles.
Is there really like point. A degree of pulling the lever that you can go all the way?
Because I like turn on the switch. Like,
instead,
can you,
instead of an on
switch.
And off,
is there a switch dimmer? Inside their head.
Is there a dimmer on the switch?
A dimmer. There has to be a dimmer.
I don't think there is a dimmer. I think it's an on-off kind of thing. Okay. But if, okay, I think that, I don't know whether I think both of them have it off, but I definitely think that Caroline turned hers off. Okay. Steph and I have questions about, because this would be a smart play for him to pretend he turned it off, and that's the way he gets her to come back kind of thing, by showing her that she can't keep it all together. But I feel like if that's the way we're going to go, it's so convoluted at some point. Like, how far does he have to go?
I wouldn't like Stefan anymore if that's what he was doing at this point.
He's hurting people right now.
Yeah, because he's hurting innocent people.
You don't know that necessarily.
Well, he said that your shirt is over by the girl that we left to basically bleed
out.
Yeah,
he said that. Yeah, he said that, but I'm also thinking, and she's like, I don't even remember how we got to my room. Like, maybe
the director?
The director, maybe he found a dead person and tore the head off.
She would have noticed when she had to put his body in a furnace that it wasn't the actual director, though.
Yeah, his head was off of his body.
Yeah, like,
she's never met the director before.
She got him to give her an audition over spring break.
And
she met that guy.
No, she emailed him. She never saw his face.
I'm just saying, if Stefan's doing all of this crazy stuff just to prove a point, that makes him a horrible person.
Yeah,
right.
I'm with you guys.
He really loves her, though. Maybe it's because he really loves her.
I love you so much, I'm going to go on a murdering spree
just to prove my feeling.
I think we just decided. We've now uncovered the mystery, which is that there is no mystery, and they both have the humanity off. I'm with you guys. So now that they both have flipped the switch, they're actually causing a little bit of a problem for Enzo. Because Enzo wants to take down Stefan, but not if Stefan doesn't really know that he's getting taken down. It's supposed to be a game that they're playing. God. So Enzo wants to do what exactly? This is what confused me. He goes to a lark. He's looking for the vampire hunter so that he can use a tool so that he can capture Steriline and do what?
He wants Stefan's humanity back on because if Stefan doesn't care about him getting to Sarah Salvatore, then what's the point of Enzo doing what he's doing?
So capturing them is just like Damon tried to do in the very beginning of this episode by putting Stefan in the cell and then having somebody obviously come and try to get his humanity back. So that's what Enzo was trying to do with both of them.
Right, so he doesn't want to capture them to kidnap them. I mean, to torture them. He wants to capture them so that he can make them turn their switch back on so then he can torture them.
Yes. That's what I had written, actually. Yeah. He wants to turn it on so he can torture them.
And not in a traditional torture, like, I'm going to gouge your eye out kind of way. Like, I'm going to ruin your great-niece's life
and make
you watch.
kind of way. So creepy. I got to say, about Enzo, that somebody tweeted at me. I don't remember the handle, but I'll find it and say it either later in the show or next week. But they were asking about how crazy it would be, and this was a prediction of theirs, if Enzo was actually the kid of Lily, and when she went up in Europe, she went all crazy and whatever and had a son. And then I ran it by you guys, and you guys reminded me that when you're a vampire, you can't have a kid. But we were thinking that maybe in some way, Lily and Enzo know each other,
or maybe some
connection that they've met or something, and maybe the whole rivalry with Stefan and Enzo goes deeper than we even know.
I see two ways of this becoming true. She turned Enzo, maybe. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, sire bond and family, she kind of raised him that way. Or she had a secret baby before she turned. Mm-hmm. And Enzo is the product of that. Because she did say she hated her husband. Yeah. So what's to say she wasn't pulling a Michelson mama trick and had a baby with someone else.
I mean, I brought up when we were watching the episode, you know, it was season two, right, with Elena's mom, Isabel. Mm-hmm. And we find out that she had Elena while she was a human, but she faked her own death to become a vampire. Mm-hmm. But we find out in this episode that Lillian had the plague or whatever they called it of what she died. And one of the nurses gave her TB. Vampire blood. Tuberculosis?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and she survived.
I thought you said TD. I was like, no, it's TVD. Vampire Diaries. And she survived. Continue.
Yeah. I mean, I was just very interested in trying to figure out the, like, timeline of her turning into a vampire. But maybe when she did, she needed to find a child because she couldn't be around her own because she wanted to rip their throats out to turn into a vampire. And perhaps that was Enzo.
And then she wouldn't want to rip their throats out, his throat out, because he was a vampire?
Yeah.
But she had to turn him before she...
Maybe.
She, okay. Yeah. I got you. Mm-hmm. Katie, you're looking at your notes awful intense there, and I'm
I was just thinking that she said TB. Oh. I thought she said teepee. Like, she was in a teepee in the wars or something, and
she just died from TB, and one of the nurses fed her vampire blood.
And she died.
Okay. Anyway. Okay, so they go on this hunt, Enzo and Alaric, and that's what's going on that part. But Alaric also has a lot of stuff going on, like real life stuff, not like supernatural stuff. He's gotten some woman pregnant. She's not just some woman. She's now his fiance. Her name is Jo. We know her because she's been on the show for all season.
I love that you had to explain that because you said some woman and then you kind of backtracked. Oh, to save it.
Oh, thanks, girl. Good. Thanks. I tried really hard.
And then I just called you out for it too, so that's great.
Yeah, no, it actually helped because now at least they know that you guys aren't the morons. It's just me. You acknowledge. Right. Makes sense. So anyway, they're having a kid. And this kid needs a name, and that is their drama of the episode. What do we name our baby?
I think it's super cute, these scenes, and it made me really angry when Enzo manipulated Alaric into helping him because he was basically calling him like a wimp. Don't even mess with him right now. Don't put him in danger.
He just like want to hug you and hold you sometimes. I love that you think it's super cute. I, on the other hand, think that it's like, you're living in this supernatural world. Who cares what your baby's named?
Like, just make sure the baby's born like a human and teepee. A safe person.
I was just going to say, I mean, she did barely just find out. It is early for the name to be the main focus, but they're excited. She's excited. She's a girl. She's been dreaming about this probably for her whole life. So, you know, talking baby names and stuff like that is exciting. And
she's a witch. She knows.
She also has to plan a wedding.
They also need to get the hell out of there if they seriously want to have a live baby.
Well, yeah, especially because now she's on the team. She's sitting there lying to Sarah. Sarah's in the hospital. She's like, yo, girl, you got wasted last night.
And I thought that was so mean. That was mean of, like, the girl was basically, you know, just abused and all this messed up stuff happened to Sarah. And then they told her she got too drunk.
We need to get her out of harm's way, though.
We need to get which one? Joe?
Sarah. Oh, Sarah. Well, Joe, too. Yeah. I mean, Joe doesn't like the fact that she has to do this. She said that herself. But I see why they lied to her, to Sarah, because she needs to get out of harm's way and doesn't need to know all of this stuff.
What's up with the Sarah Salvatore moment? Damon comes in. He's like, you deserve better.
Enzo.
Enzo comes in. He's like, you deserve better. You're a real gem, Sarah Salvatore. And she's like, why did you call me that?
I didn't realize she didn't know her name.
Well, she knew it was Sarah, but she didn't know she was Salvatore.
What's her last name?
Well, remember, the other girl was pretending to be Sarah Salvatore. I don't know what she thinks.
Yeah, and Enzo has her saved in his phone as Sarah Salvatore, so...
Maybe she was saying, why did you call me that? Like, how do you know that? Because she switched lives with the other girl, you know, so she took the other...
Right.
Like, so, you know, did she?
No. The other girl just pretended to be her. She didn't switch lives. Oh, she had no idea even that this girl was out there.
I took it as a sign that maybe she lost her memory.
I thought
And doesn't remember.
I think that she knew. It was an accusatory, like, how do you know that? kind of thing.
Honestly. Like, I never told you my last name. How did you creep on me?
Yeah, or, like, my secret last name that I didn't tell you that I'd never tell anybody kind of thing.
The thing that I cared most about in this scene was the fact that Enzo said he was giving up on the game. I was like, finally, what is this game that you're playing that nobody cares about?
Girlfriend, if you believe that, then
Because, because Laura calls him out for his... a clear loneliness. It's like, what you're doing is pathetic, which is what the fans have been saying all season.
Especially because I love you, Enzo, so just chill out. Like, this week I was at a pool and I saw a mom say to her 6-year-old kid, chill out, and the kid said, okay, okay, I'll chill. Why can't I say to Enzo, a grown-ass man, chill out, and him say, okay, okay, I'll chill. If a 6-year-old girl can do it, you can do it. And that's my and that's my analogy.
So I found it, guys. Her name is Sarah Nelson. But
you found what?
Who? Like Sarah Salvatore. Her name that she thinks it is Sarah Nelson. So she doesn't know about the Salvatore.
Why does she
last
think
name.
It's Sarah
she
Nelson?
She was adopted.
Yeah. Oh, right. So she doesn't know what her parents' name was.
Just the other girl found out all this information, so she knew Salvatore and what that was.
What's up with that other girl too?
She's dead.
Yeah, I know, but nobody's going to ever talk about her again, that she just came in and,
died.
By the way, everybody, because it's a CW show, obviously is beautiful, but this Sarah is like, even when she's in the hospital, I'm like, damn, girl.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised when Enzo walks in, it's like, you're special. I'm like, special indeed. You're
she's
gorgeous.
Freaking Pocahontas is what she is.
Oh my God, she's literally gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what's going on one side of the world, on No Humanity side of the world. On the other side of the world, we've got this big trip we're planning, and this trip is not to a different place, but to a different year. We're going back. We're going back to the place that we worked for the entire first half of the season to get out of, and we're just voluntarily, all of us are hopping on a little Ascendant and flying it back to 1903. So I guess it's a little different. They're not going to the exact place that they tried to get out of, but the other version of that place. It is colder. It's colder, and it's a hell of a lot creepier, as we talked about for the first 30 minutes of our after show. I'm still kind of freaked out. We get there, and we break off into two teams. No, we're not playing Capture the Flag. We are playing...
That would be awesome, though!
I thought about that joke the entire time I was waiting to get to it.
Oh, you shouldn't say that part. No, it's not as funny.
So we decided that we're going to have Bankai go one way, and they are looking for the Ascendant. And then we're going to have Delana go the other way, and they're looking for Lily. Now, if these were the actual two jobs, which would you guys rather go off on? Like, which is the not as scary one?
Ascendant.
Because you think finding Lily is scary?
Everything about Lily is scary.
We didn't know
she is. Except for the fact the stories that we heard from Kai, which we can't always trust. But still, like, those stories are scary and I don't want to chance it.
Okay, I say we knew she was a ripper. Sam rolls her eyes and makes a joke because I feel like, no, I get why you're saying that. At this point, it's like, well, Stefan's a ripper and he's a pretty good dude, so whatever, she's a ripper.
Well, no, but we saw when he's a ripper, he's not the best kind of dude.
Yeah. I would still take him.
Amen, honey. Amen.
Oh, no. Is my love.
But no, I wouldn't go for the Ripper Mama because when Bonnie was in 1903 and she popped into that cave out of nowhere, I mean, Mike, after that, you popped out of the darkness and you were like, hello. Yeah. And that's just creepy. Mm-mm.
Yeah, very, very scary.
And then we find out she has little friends and they're creepy too.
All right. Well, okay, we'll get to her and her little friends, but actually I want to start with talking about Bankai because they have a... I know, I set you up for failure there. I want to talk about Bankai because we've got this really weird situation going on where... actually, Damon is more in the know than Elena with the plan, according to Bonnie.
Because Elena, just no matter if she knows the plan or not, she's going to make her own way to do something. So he's just trying to get her out of harm's way so she's kind of blinded on the fact of the plan so she doesn't stick her 2 cents in.
You think?
Yeah.
Because you don't think she'll go for it?
I don't know.
Silence. We don't know anything about Elena anymore.
I don't think it's necessary to tell her, just like Elena has had many plans where she doesn't fill in everyone. They all do this to each other, and it's just different teams get together each time. Mm-hmm. This time, it's a little bit of Damon happening.
Yeah.
Team Damon right now.
I guess, but I don't know. Just the fact that she didn't say anything to Elena, like, doesn't Elena feel so... I mean, I guess Elena still is not in the know. She doesn't know.
Elena was cracking me up. She was, like, meeting the mother of my boyfriend. Like, that's all she cared about. Like, what is going on?
Like, watching a 16-year-old meeting her boyfriend's parents at a... What? Like, your life. What?
Well, I mean, honestly, when you think about it, how many times she switched it on and off and on and off, had her memory erased, there has to be some things that have been lost.
I know. That's very true. But in terms of Bonnie and Kai, I know we had some mixed opinions across the board, guys. And some of us were saying we felt a little bad for Kai.
A weird thing.
It is.
It's a weird thing, but I felt it at the very end with what happened to him.
When she stabs him, did you feel bad that she was inflicting pain, or did you feel bad that they left him?
That they left him.
So the pain was okay.
She didn't inflict pain. He escaped.
No, well, she stabbed him
in the back. Well, he totally deserved that. I mean, he did it to her.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at that, but I felt really bad for him, which is a weird feeling for me.
Here's the confusing part. When she goes to do the final blow and he escapes, if he didn't escape and she killed him, doesn't everyone die?
That's what I was confused about.
Like, all of his people?
Yeah, the whole coven would die. And that's what I was confused about, why Damon would be on board. Maybe he wasn't on board for her exactly killing him.
Just leaving him there.
Yeah, but because if Damon was on board with her killing him, that would be betraying his best friend, Alaric, because then Joe would die and all the people on the line.
I don't think that Damon ever... I think Damon knew what Bonnie would do, because she does want him to feel exactly what she felt in last week.
Bonnie tried to
kill him. Well, last week, Bonnie put Damon through exactly what she had gone through. Yeah. So I think in his mind, it's like, stab him, leave him wounded and alone. But that was the plan. She wasn't, she was going for another stab, but there's nothing that says she was going to actually kill him. Okay.
You don't think that last blow...
I think that she really wanted to leave him hurting and vulnerable and in a snow-filled forest.
Okay, and that's exactly what she gonna do. She is gonna stab him. He's gonna disappear. He's gonna walk away bleeding. As Katie says, why aren't you running? He got stabbed in the leg, Katie.
But he needs to just get it together. Or maybe not yell her name, Bonnie, because at this point she's not gonna help him, so just sneak up and grab her.
I loved her evil smile.
Why would he yell Bonnie? Yell somebody else's name. Say Elena.
He feels a connection with her. It's weird. And
Bonkai for life.
I mean, there is a connection. Everyone sees it. I get it. But he feels it. She doesn't feel it yet. She doesn't know she feels it yet.
Wait, hold on. I feel it, definitely, but everyone feels it? No. There is some major backlash out there about Bonkai. The fact that my sick and twisted mind wanted Kai to kiss Bonnie and Bonnie to kiss Kai during this, it just shows how messed up society, or me in particular, is. Because that's wrong. I understand that. He just abused the crap out of her, and she just abused him. And I'm like, ooh, do it. What? So I don't think that there is 100% support for Bonkai, but a lot of people do like them.
But my argument back to that, to everyone, is that because I get a lot of flack when I say, oh, I love Klaus, and, you know, I want him people, and they're like, well, he's abusive and he's all these things and he's a horrible person, so you love abusers? Is that what you love? No, but yes. I think, no, that's not what we're saying here. But I do think that there are redeemable qualities in these people, and that's what we're focusing on, because we see Kai as a redeemed person at this point.
Because he has another person inside
but,
him.
But
he
Bonnie nice doesn't see him there yet.
Right.
So Bonnie needs more time to see him that way. The change isn't instant, and it's not exactly overnight, and Bonnie just needs to catch up to it.
What'd you think about when he grabbed her wrist, and that was kind of like... he could see that he apologized because he thought that Kai was coming out and Luke was getting put back in.
That's why you can't trust him, because you never know what side he's going to be on in the exact moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have no trust for him. Although I will say, back to Sam's comment, who wouldn't want to date a straight guy with a nice, cute gay boy inside them? That's like pretty much what we all want.
Yeah, it's like the perfect combo.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, you have nice palms.
Oh, I wrote
weird
that down.
Compliment.
Strangest compliment in the world, but I love it.
I would be like, thank you? What?
Really? But isn't it nice to be complimented on something that people don't notice? It's like, very small, you have really nice nail beds.
Oh, did it just take you a while to find something on me that you like? You have really nice. Oh, no, not that thing. Yeah, no, my nail beds are actually crap, but thanks, T. I'll take it.
It's just, like, nice. It's like, oh, thanks. I get my smile's amazing all the time, but no one ever talks about my nails, and I love that.
Okay, nails are a little different. Your palm? Like, how can somebody have a nice palm? It'd be different if you were trying to read her fortune or something. All right, you have a pretty nice palm, T.
Thanks.
I take it back. T has a great palm.
There it is.
All right, so that's what's going on with Bonnie and Kai. We end up leaving Kai. And then we've got Delana, who's doing their search for Lily. All right, the weirdest, creepiest, most bizarre thing I think we've ever done on this show. Yes, there was Silas Amara creepy stuff going on there, but this was like dollhouse creepy.
Love it.
It was very Alfred Hitchcock Psycho, but reversed.
Right. So they find her, and she's like, hello, it's so nice to have you here. And she has her two drops of blood every however often just to live. And that was just creepy enough. And then she introduces us to her family, who are a bunch of vampires who clearly haven't had blood in a long time and are mummified.
And she says that, you know, they've given up their part of the blood, but I really feel like they didn't. And
you think it's BS?
Yeah, I think she... Well, I think in her mind, they did. Mm-hmm. But in their minds, they're, like, looking at her like, are you kidding me? Like, can you please give me some blood? You crazy psycho.
That's what I thought, too. However, she does really want to get them back. So she must believe.
Yeah, I think she believes it.
Right. So then she would actually be crazy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there has to be someone in the bunch that was not cool with this whole thing of her getting all the blood left.
It might be Creepy Eyes. He was the most aware the whole time, even before he got the blood.
With the eyes, when Elena went up to him and she did something and his eyes moved
back and forth.
That was so creepy.
And then when we end up leaving them there, oh my gosh, as if Kai hasn't had the crap kicked out of him enough, he goes up to this guy and the guy wants to suck his blood. And he does.
We were all like, get away from him.
Guys, Kai deserves it. He did so many bad things.
He does. He definitely deserves it.
Isn't that weird that we all feel bad a little bit, though?
I feel bad a little bit, but I also felt really bad when Bonnie got left. If anyone gets left behind, if they left Mama Lily behind, I would have felt bad about that just because I do kind of know this person now. Mm-hmm. Those other creepy mummified dolls, no, they can stay there where they belong. But
could Kai,
everyone else.
Could Kai die from this guy if this guy sucked enough blood, or because he's witchy, he wouldn't be able to die?
Well, I think the question is because when Kai was in the other prison world, he couldn't kill himself.
Right.
But was he wasn't prison. Cursed to this prison world, mm-hmm. So can he die there?
Because he voluntarily just, like, took the ascendant there.
Yeah.
Stupid move, Kai. Stupid, stupid move. And he's the one who asked Bonnie to come with him in the first place. I'll only go if you go. I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Well, can we talk about really quickly, though? There was a moment there where Kai and Bonnie, where Kai said to Bonnie, like, almost threatened her, and then she attacked him.
He said, why would you come out here with me? You know that if I hurt you, even if you scream, nobody would hear. That was not him threatening her. That's him being kind of offbeat.
It was him being like, well, this is all the stuff that could happen, so you must trust me a little bit because you came out here despite all the odds being against you.
I didn't feel like he was saying, so I'm going to do that now. I almost thought he was figuring it out. Like,
yeah, I thought he was figuring it out.
Because he's like, nobody would hide the ascendant in this pile of snow.
If we had given him a couple more minutes, he would have gotten there, I think. But we didn't because we stabbed him instead, which is fine. He deserved that one at least. So what do we think now? We go to get Lily, and she tells this story about how she didn't want to leave, and she went and she went to hug Stefan goodbye, and she really was the angel, and but then she wanted his blood so bad, so she had to flee. Are you buying all of this, everything she says, and that she's a changed person because of her family? Or?
You just can't with this show. Even if you want to, you can't.
You literally can't even.
You can't even. Like, totally.
What about you, Sam? Are you buying this?
I think, like, part of it's true. I think that maybe what started her on her own journey was her almost killing her own child because of the bloodlust to say, I'm going to turn into a new person and never am going to come back here again and be with them.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like I can trust her a little bit with her story, but I don't, I'm not fully there with her yet because she's been rationing herself for all this time. And she's like, oh, you know, I learned how to suppress it and I know how to control it. But she also hasn't been around this much live action blood in a really long time. You put an someone who's an alcoholic, if there's no alcohol left in the world, they're not going to go touching it. But you put them in front of a bar, they're going to be at least tempted again at the smell of it to go towards it again. And this is like a giant free buffet of blood because you're around human beings again.
She's a ticking time bomb.
She was in rehab in 1903.
That's exactly what it was. And she's been there for a long time. So, like you said, it's easy to not be a ripper when there's no one to rip. Mm. Although, why can't the vampires... You know how some of them can feed off of each other? That's how you... Whatever. We've seen vampires feed off each other. Why couldn't these vamps feed off of each other?
Maybe because she cared about them.
Because they didn't have nutrition outside of themselves.
So there'd be
they would run out of blood eventually, right? But that makes sense, right?
Still, any blood is better than no blood, right?
But no, I'm saying because if we're feeding off of each other and we're vampires, we also could go to the booth and get Marissa, and she's a human, so then I'm getting more blood into me. But if I just suck her blood dry, then eventually she won't have any left.
Yeah, I guess, and that's why it looked like that. That mummified look.
Like raisins.
Yeah.
And there was a black guy back there, too.
Like raisins.
Relevant. Okay, so we're skeptical.
Oh, not because of the raisins. Uh-oh. Not that.
Are you putting raisin in the sun over here?
Anyway, before we get a lot of slack for that, taking us out. So she is back in our land, and what are the chances that we think she actually will be Stefan's emotional trigger? Because what it seems like right now is we got to get Stefan to snap, and then once he snaps, he can get Caroline to snap back. But we have to start with him. So what are the chances that Lily is going to be like, hey, Stefan, and he's going to be like, flip?
I don't think it'll be that easy, but from what we've heard, both of them are mama's boys, but I think Stefan had maybe more of a connection with her somehow, you know? Yeah. So she could have an effect on him.
It was weird because we talked about a couple of weeks ago how there was 8 years apart. But then somebody tweeted at me that, and to look at Julie Plec's Twitter, and she talked about how they're 11 years apart, and now my timeline feels a little off. So, because I'm saying that because you're talking about being a mama's boy. It make much more sense for Stefan to be a mama's boy than Damon, because he was a little older at the time.
Stefan was younger. A baby.
Yeah.
He would be younger. So exactly. It makes sense.
What are you thinking, T? Do you think that she would be able to break the spell, for lack of better words, or make him switch?
I think that she has a very good chance of doing it, but I think it'd be more interesting if it's easier for Caroline to come back and they get her back first, and then, I don't know, she helps him get back or something. I feel like because Caroline has so much control over her uncontrollness, that she's going to be the one easier to snap back into things.
Mm. I think Stefan's going to know what they're doing with that plan eventually. He's going to figure it out, and he might convince Mama Salvatore to be a ripper.
Ooh. Like that. So then Stefan, Caroline, and Lily all go rip?
Rippers.
Rip away.
I don't think Caroline would be a ripper, but...
Yeah, she's just not that into it, the mess.
She doesn't like the mess. She'd more pack. Yeah, I agree.
You can't get blood on her Jimmy Choo's.
We also, I mean, this isn't really news and gossip. I mean, it is, but it's relevant to the conversation, so I'm just going to say it. We've been talking about, there's been rumors about people from the originals coming onto the show. We don't exactly know who yet. Do you think that there's any way this could be this is me obviously being Caroline fan, but Klaus could come back and be an emotional trigger for Caroline, or does everybody only have one emotional trigger, or what?
I think you would have multiple emotional triggers, and I think that it is a possibility for Klaus to come in and do something like that, especially since he wasn't there when her mom died.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he comes back for that or something along those lines, because I was looking up old Caroline moments the other day, and when I got to the meme of him saying, like, you'll have a lot of loves, but I intend to be your last. Yeah. I was like, he intends to be her last?
You heard?
And then I was like, Roxy, Caroline for life.
You heard that? He intends to be her last.
I feel like they wouldn't have put that line in there if they didn't want to eventually bring it back there.
Although Julie said at that time that she put it in for closure.
Julie said several times, Julie Plec, he is not, they're never going to, this is their last
hurrah. Okay.
Straight up, Julie has looked her fans in the eyes and been like, not happening. And we're like, oh, cool.
It's going to happen.
But when it happens. You really mean.
Julie, I'm gonna let you finish, but I need this to happen.
Sign language, I can read your brain.
Oh, Julie couldn't have said it more times. It's amazing that nobody cares.
But speaking of the crossover, I do like the kind of theory that's going over there too, that maybe, you know, Enzo could find his way back over to New Orleans because he's kind of, you know, a bad guy and he doesn't really have much interesting stuff going on yeah, on the Vampire Diaries. So maybe he could go over there and kind of, with Klaus, have something more interesting going on that's not just this weird jealousy thing.
That Enzo Caroline thing I was kind of liking too. Mm-hmm. I didn't know whether to go Steriline or Enzo Caroline. So it's just like, now that Enzo is not there, I mean, maybe we'll actually try to legitimately put him with Sarah. Do you think that there's any way that would help him fit?
She might be intrigued by him.
Yeah.
But then he's a vampire and she's not intrigued by that because she'd been compelled not to be.
Yeah.
Okay. All of this happened, and as if it's not big enough, then we have the most epic thing of all time. That
love it.
All these other things, I was like, ooh, maybe I could predict we were going there. This just blew all of our minds. So Bonnie is like, Damon, you jerk. I had a present for you, but I didn't give it to you the other day because you brought Kai to me.
She walked in on them hooking up, too. That was...
Oh, yeah. She did walk in on a Delana moment.
And Elena knew that she was there for her boyfriend and not her. Elena's not weirded out that their friendship isn't where it should be, like, right, between her and Bonnie. That would bug me as a girl.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, sorry. I just think she's not really a jealous person because she knows Damon's just head over heels.
But not jealous, just that your best friend is now back and you're not actively making efforts to be best friends with her, and right, she's like, not with you. You know, she's come, and I get
hello,
that.
Hello, Faye.
Yeah, and it's like she knows that her and Damon went through a lot being stuck in 1994 together. But also, if my best friend just got back and be like, "Hey, girl, like, you know, you want to go hang?
Right.
Let's do something."
And on that note, it's still kind of bothering me that she doesn't have her frickin' memories of Damon. So I'm like, oh, they're all happy-go-lucky again. And then I'm like, oh my God, she still doesn't remember all their epic scenes. So I just feel like Elena's kind of brushing a lot of things under the rug. But that's not what I'm talking about right now. Yeah. What I'm talking about is the fact that Bonnie gives him this gift. It's a box. And I'm like, what is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? You guys are like, shush, Roxy. We're trying to actually see what it is. And he opens it up. And we're like, huh?
I knew it was a cure.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Sorry. I'm like, huh? And Katie's like, the cure. What just happened? Like, drops mic, walks out.
You literally almost did. You dropped your legal pad and almost walked out.
What? Because they were back in time, so the cure was still there, and she brings it to him because she knows that he wanted to get it for Elena because he wants her to be able to do what she wants to do, and she never wanted to be a vampire. But if she does that, is she going to be into Stefan and not into Damon?
Yeah.
I ran out of breath.
I was noticing.
She cares about their friendship so much. Something could definitely grow out of that. Bayman's.
But what about Damon's reaction to getting the curse back? I think that was pretty interesting that we spent a whole, season and a half working to get this cure to give it to Elena. That was his one focus. And now he's like, what if I don't want her to have it?
Because he said if she wasn't a vampire, he thinks that she would be with Stefan. So that's why he doesn't want her to have
it now. But even with his brother moving on, he still thinks that's a serious threat.
I don't know if that's
why. Elena, they are a threat.
Here's the thing. I think what's going to end up happening is he's going to be like, should I offer it? Should I not? Should I offer it? Should I not? I'm not going to. Okay, I will. And then he offers it. And I think she, at this point,
she doesn't want it.
I don't think she wants it anymore because I think she finally is at a place where she enjoys being a vampire. And I think she's going to say, I don't want it. And he's going to say, but what if you would have chosen Stefan? And she would say, but I didn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Because she, even without her memories of Damon and all the things she went through with him, she has circled back and found those feelings again for him from a clean slate of only remembering loving Stefan and hating Damon.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be about Stefan and Damon. It's about her, like, as a person or a vampire, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone in her life except for Jeremy, who's now off as a, you know, God knows what. But, like, they're not human, so she would just be alone. Why would she want to take it?
She'll have Matt.
So interesting.
Well, she'll be with Jeremy.
And
You know, that would be really interesting if at the end she ended up being a human again.
Be livid.
And to live a human life. That would be so interesting.
If by interesting you mean boring, and I'm glad that the show ended so we don't have to watch it, then yeah.
Well, the very end, you know? I get what you're saying.
But I think that now she finally is at peace with who she is, and I don't think she would want to change. But we'll see. Okay, on that note, let's get to some predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Yo, these predictions are not for next week. They're not for the week after. They are for April 16th. Are you kidding me?
Mm. Yay. At least it's coming back.
I mean, yeah, because the tears right now would be flowing if it wasn't.
At least it wasn't the season finale yet, guys. Yeah,
That's true. What do we got, though? As far as predictions goes for when we do come back, what are you guys thinking? Anything major?
I honestly think that, like I said before, Stefan is just going to figure out what they're trying to do with his mom, and he's going to convince the mom to be a Ripper.
Okay.
Like, we're going to see her be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What if the mom coming back actually has more of an effect on Caroline because she just recently lost her mom?
Hmm.
So what if it ends up backfiring and it brings her back
and
she tries
to convince Stefan to come back?
Yeah, because the emotional trigger of seeing, like, someone's mom come back from the dead... When she just went through that traumatic event? I don't know.
Interesting.
Maybe. Bring me something new and different, Vampire Diaries, because I don't like the no humanity storyline. It's growing on me. I like the twist that they're doing on it, but I really didn't want them to go there in the first place. So,
yeah.
Surprise me again.
What do you guys think about whether the team will decide to go back to 1903 or not? For Kai or for the dolls?
Oh, they gotta go back. I mean, it's bound to happen. They're gonna go back.
They're not gonna want to. Nobody wants to except for Lily right now. So I think when Lily becomes a Ripper because of Stefan, she's gonna be crazy. She's gonna start doing things and threaten them if you don't take me back there to get my family.
Do you guys think that we'll start kind of how it was in the beginning of the season with Bonnie and we were seeing her story locked up in 1994 and what was going on current day? Are we going to see what's happening with Kai and them back there?
I don't know if we care enough about Kai at this point. I mean, I do.
I love his character. I don't want to lose that character.
I love his scruff.
Not only Kai, but I want to know what's going on with these people, too. So I think they're going to show us some creepy scenes, like, here and there. But sometimes we didn't see Bonnie in 1994, so there might be a little bit of that, too. Like, that's hiding. Well, we got this going on up here.
And then we had a bunch of Delana moments, and then we had Caroline. What did I write? Caroline reads Kill Tail together, Matt.
Heads or tails to kill Tyler or Matt.
So she's flipping a coin for Matt or Tyler. I mean, obviously, we're not losing either of them, right?
No.
I mean, she's had sex with both of them, so maybe that's just what she's talking about.
I think it's going to be a moment where she's going to, like, try to kill them, but it's not going to happen. That can't happen.
Yeah,
I don't think so either.
She
loved both of those guys.
But at least we're going to get Matt and Tyler back in the show, because where you been?
Where they been, though.
Yeah, for real.
Okay, and on that note, guys, thank you so much for joining our show tonight. And if you want to keep the conversation going with all of these lovely ladies on the panel, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at @TianaHobson.
You can find me on Twitter at @KatieEECampbell. That's Katie with 3 E's Campbell, and Instagram at @KatieCampbell13.
You can find me online at samdavidsonentertainment.com and on Twitter and Instagram at samd43.
And you guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Starr. You can find us at AfterBuzz TV, AfterBuzzTV.com, YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV, on iTunes, on SoundCloud. And make sure you guys are extra attentive to us in the next couple weeks, because we're really going to miss out on the show and we want to hear what you guys have to say. Until then, mwah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.